Looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bus and funny costumes, TapperSleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, TapperSleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. TapperSleep. Seriously. Good. Fight wear. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at rearnakedradio.net. I am Paul Scorcher-Laporte. With me as always, man, Irish Derek Kenny. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm doing fantastic.
Hi there. Great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Right.
I'm a big fan.
Got a big show ahead of us today. We got Shooter Sack to step through. We got WEC 47 glance over, and we will be joined on the air, fresh off of his disappointing loss to Javier Vasquez. Jens Lilieval Pulver will be joining us to discuss that, and I'm sure many, 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 many other things.
Practically family on this show, folks.
So to be, you know, quite frank, I'd like to get through the show as quick as possible so we can get to that interview.
because it quite typically takes a lot of time.
Yep, I'm sure he has a lot to say, and we're very eager to listen. So, shall we get right into the Sack Shooter?
Yeah, man. Hit the music. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sack. Today is Sunday, March 7th, 2010, and I am Jeff Shooter Graham. All right, let's go. First and foremost, guess what? Everybody's favorite gym, ATT, has opened up yet another gym.
Damn.
Yes. Hmm. Yes, that's right. And this one in Colorado. They're calling this one ATT Altitude. And it's celebrating a grand opening, or it just did. And the owner of the gym is somebody we all know and love, Bobby Lashley.
What?
Yep.
Huh?
So he has his own gym. So he now has his own gym that he won't train at.
Exactly.
Exactly. Probably has less people hounding him because it's his gym. What are they going to do? Bobby, get in the gym. It's my gym.
I don't have to go in if I don't want to.
You can't make me.
Even worse, a guy gets to the gym, it's locked. What the hell? Oh, Bobby probably hasn't got here yet. What do you mean Bobby hasn't got here yet? Oh, some days he just doesn't show up. What am I paying my membership for?
I was really kind of surprised that ATT would allow him to license one of their gyms.
I know. He's only been a fighter over there for like a year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That bugs me a little bit, actually. It's just, mm-hmm. I don't know.
No,
they're going commercial, man. They're going Hollywood.
Yeah, it all started with Blake Bowman.
It did. He went in and he just started commercializing everything.
But anyway, we wish Bobby and ATT the best of luck. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Strikeforce stars to appear on MTV's Rockin' Jock. You guys hear anything about this?
Nope. Can't say as I did.
Yes. Josh the Punk Thompson, LeVar Big Johnson, Scott Hands of Steel Smith, and of course Jason Mayhem Miller will all be on MTV's Rockin' Jock game. And it's at the it was yesterday, March 6th, and also next Saturday, March 13th. You can see it 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. They also talk about what it's like to fight at the Playboy Mansion. And
it's weird hitting people when there's so many naked girls around.
There's naked girls. I don't feel very violent, but
yeah, it's just totally against, like, opposite to everything I'm feeling. I don't want to hit anybody. There's naked girls around. Very strange. It's tough to get motivated. I'm sorry. Continue on. We have a show to get through.
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry. I apologize. Don't know where my head's at. Right. Damn it. Get to the news faster. All right. There's a rumor going around that Fedor Emelianenko will not be fighting for Strikeforce anymore until they redo his contract because, according to M1 Global, Strikeforce and Scott Coker have not lived up to their end of their existing contract, although they will cite no specific infractions. But they say until they offer Fedor a new contract, he's not fighting there.
Super.
Yeah, that's awesome. Fedor, one and done. Bam! He fought two fights in Affliction. Of course, they're closed now. They had bigger bankroll than most of the companies he fights for.
Wait, so maybe Scott Coker should be thanking them? Oh, thank you. I haven't fought here twice. We don't have the curse now. Strikeforce will live on.
We get to put on another card. Yay!
If he only fights for us once, we could still be in business.
I found this whole thing a little weird because, I mean, it was a week or two ago I announced that Gegard Mousasi had left M1.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he hadn't said anything bad about them. He's just like, well, you know... nothing I could say. When they asked, I'm going to mangle this dude's name. Unfortunately, I'm no good with Russian names. How about we just go with Vadim? That way I don't have to go to his last name. He's the manager of M1. He's like the president and everything. Mm-hmm. He was asked, could you confirm the rumors that Fedor's fight has been postponed because of financial issues and may not take place at all? He says, hello. The problem isn't there. The fight will take place. We're planning to show the bout in over 100 countries. For all of that to go smoothly, we had to postpone the event. Unfortunately, I do not know the date yet. It's most likely going to be in early May. The bout is also postponed because there were some other contract issues. Obviously, there are always disagreements and technical questions, but everybody deals with those. Okay, then they ask him about Mousasi leaving M1 Global. Do you still work with him or his management? And he was quoted as saying, Mousasi has never had a contract with M1. Mousasi? Who's this Mousasi you speak of? I've never
heard. Never heard him before in my life.
If this is the case, he would not have been able to simply leave our organization. Would have had his family killed.
In a body bag, he'd leave.
Where did he go? He still has contracts with Strikeforce and Dream. M1 was helping him grow. Mousasi has always been friends with us and Fedor, and in return, we were helping him go forward. His action was a surprise to me. I plan on meeting with him next week and making him an offer he can't refuse. No, just kidding.
Okay.
Finding out what's wrong. We used to say that Mousasi was an M1 fighter because he was starting in our organization. I'm sure that on our M1 challenge and M1 selection tournament, he will not be the only fighter on that level. Okay. So. This whole thing just has me a little flabbergasted. Okay, Mousasi was never with us, but we always considered him one of us.
maybe, is it translated?
You almost wonder. It's like, Derek Kenny was never on this show, but we always considered him a member of the show.
Okay. Maybe it's one of those things where it's like, oh, that guy that lives with my aunt isn't really my uncle, but I've always considered him my uncle. I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, what else we got here? Alistair Overeem will fight and defend the Strikeforce title.
Took him long enough.
When? And against who?
Well, I don't have a win, but I do have the who. That's right. It's Brett Rogers.
So wait a minute. So the Verdum's fight's just getting scrapped then?
Apparently.
And Verdum doesn't get the shot against Overeem.
No, well, Verdum will fight Fedor, you know, like in May or something, once all this stuff is ironed out.
So, not only does Verdum get screwed out of a title, or out of the Fedor fight, he gets screwed out of a title shot, and he's getting screwed out of a title shot to the guy who just lost his last fight, and he lost it to Fedor. Mm. Wow. Yeah. At least have Overeem fight somebody who he might lose to, so you can get the goddamn belt off him.
I think Brett Rogers has got a puncher's chance. No?
No, I don't think he's got much of a chance.
He's got a puncher's chance against a guy who's ran through several K1 level fighters.
He's got a puncher's chance.
No. It's like saying I have a puncher's chance.
Well, you do. You could beat BJ Penn. Well, I know because I heard it on my favorite radio program.
That's not a puncher's chance. That's just being the favorite to win a fight.
I'm a brown belt in osmosis.
Purple, I figure, at least. I might be, but I figure, well, I said that, what, 2 years ago?
It was like two years ago, man. By now you should be brown, at least.
Yeah, that's true. I might even be a black belt. I don't know.
Anyway, and Overeem, his next fight against Brett Grim Rogers will be in the USA. Again, this is supposed to be huge news, normally because for some reason he can't seem to ever fight over here, but... and this came from Scott Coker himself.
Gee, I wonder why he wouldn't be able to fight over here.
Coker says that according to the Golden Glory camp, which is Overeem's camp, Overeem will fight 3 to 4 times this year before the end of the year. They're going to hold him to it.
One of those fights might even be in Strikeforce.
I was going to say 3 or 4. Yeah. How many are going to be in the Strikeforce? Shit.
Hey, Alistair, what's going on? Well, I just fought 4 times.
Three of the fights are going to be in his gym.
Well, I was thinking in Japan, but yeah, sure, it's Jim.
Craziness. James Lights Out Tony is now a member of the UFC.
And I'm trying to avoid getting on tangents here because, you know, we got Jens coming on and everything, but dear
Let
Lord.
Loose, brother. Let it go.
Okay. So I've read a lot of articles on Tony getting signed by the UFC. You know, and Dana says, oh, we're not going to try and turn this into a freak show. No, blah, 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 blah. Okay, first of all, Dana, we're not saying you're trying to turn it into a freak show. This is James Toney we're talking about. It just is a freak show. He is a freak. That's like saying, oh, we just signed a bearded woman to the UFC, but we don't want this to be a freak show. Sure, you may line her up with a couple low-level fights and build her up, but she's still a goddamn bearded woman.
You're talking about Kimbo?
Okay.
Well, okay. Now I'm going to run this down for you because my good shooter monkeys that go ahead and put all this stuff together for me have actually put this in chronological order. So it starts this. James Toney welcomes fight with Randy Couture, early summer debut.
Oh, that would be just about the most awful thing he could ever possibly do.
Randy Couture posted on Twitter this week that he wanted to be the first to get a fight with James Toney in the UFC, and now Toney has come out and said he
won't. Man, are the sharks coming out? Or who, me, I'll fight Toney. I'll fight him.
Now, this is what I love. This is what I love, because you got to be into this. And imagine I'm James Toney when I read this quote, because Toney immediately answered back, says, damn, really? That's what I'm talking about. That's right up my alley. Oh, hell yeah. Let me tell you something. I came to the UFC to do one thing, and that was fight the best there is. If Couture's there, so be it. If it's somebody else, so be it. Let's get it on and poppin'. When Dana White said MMA fighters are better than boxers, come on. You know better than that. Okay, first of all, in what world is Randy Couture right up this boxer's alley?
Okay, I do give him credit, though, because at least he's not backing down. Like, he seems like he legitimately wants the best of the best.
Well, I don't think he really knows what he's getting himself into.
Well, no, absolutely not. But at least he's, you know, he's not like, oh, you know, give me a, you know, not like Kimbo where he's going to be paying people to not take him to the ground. You know, you fight with Randy Couture, you know what you're going to be expecting. You know.
Except I don't think he does. That's what I'm saying.
No, he's got to know. I'm sure he knows, but he probably just thinks that he'll be able to avoid it or knock out Randy before he gets it in.
Well, I've got more.
Okay. All right. Continue on. I guess I'll just kind of sum up everything all at once.
He says all day.
All day.
The fight starts standing, and that's my comfort zone all day. You heard me? Not you hear me. You heard me. If they think they're going to rush me to the ground, and they think it's going to be easy, and that I don't know what I'm doing, come on, man. I'm a very strong man. I know what I have to do, and they shoot in on me. They're getting launched to outer space like a satellite. Juanito Ibarra, he's a good man. That motherfucker knows his shit, I quote. He got rampaged to the top. Well, not exactly. I mean, Rampage was a big fighter before he went to Juanito.
To be fair, he got the belt under Juanito.
That's true. That's true. He goes, we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to destroy these dudes. If Randy Couture put on his Twitter page he wants to see me, tell him.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but speaking of the Sharks coming out, Juanito Ibarra is training James Toney.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Continue on.
Tell him it ain't shit. Let's make it happen. If not in June, he can be the one after that. I'm talking June or July. I'll be ready. That gives me plenty of time, you know?
To learn how to sprawl? Yeah, well, so, need a little bit more training.
James Toney wants to go to town on Randy Couture.
All right.
Well, you know what? He's got a puncher's chance.
Let me pick up. Well, no, he legitimately does. Let me pick apart all the ways that he's crazy.
Okay, pick that apart, because then I got the next article.
Yeah, okay. All right, so... You know, here he's coming in. He wants to fight Randy Couture. Okay, fine. You know, he got with Juanito Ibarra, who is a boxing coach. Not that he exactly needs work on his boxing, but I guess it's not a bad idea because, hey, you're not going to learn jiu-jitsu in 3 months.
Right.
Toney wants to come in. He wants to fight Randy Couture. Obviously, you know, Toney makes a comment of, oh, you guys are going to shoot it on me. Number one, Randy Couture does not shoot.
No.
Number two... Oh, I'm too strong for that. You may be a strong guy, but guess what? In boxing, happens all the time. Guys get clinched up. It doesn't matter how strong you are. Guys get clinched up. It's just the way it works. Okay? The difference is, in boxing, when you get clinched up, you throw a couple little punches and then you get separated. In MMA, when you get clinched up, especially when you get clinched up with Randy Couture, you go to the ground. If Toney wants to come in, I can think of 150 people that would be better for him to fight than Randy Couture. He's literally, I don't know if he's trying to sabotage his career before it ever gets started in MMA. I had heard rumors of Toney getting lined up with Kimbo, which I don't think
you're stepping on my other articles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Might be. Okay. So we'll get to that later. Kimbo, I also thought maybe, Toney and Krokop would be an interesting fight, although there's still speculation as to whether or not Tony's fighting at, heavyweight or light heavy.
I believe he's fighting heavyweight. I think it's pretty much confirmed.
Dana said he was fighting light heavyweight, but then Tony's like, no, I'm fighting heavyweight, dog. What? Fine. Jesus Christ. That being said, I don't know if it's because Dana's a boxing mark or he just wants to bring the attention or he just wants to see Toney get embarrassed 3 times or however many it is before he, you know, gets dropped. But, this is going to be a failed experiment and there's a really solid chance that this whole thing is just going to be a black eye on mixed martial arts. Maybe it is. Maybe he's just bringing Toney in to show that MMA fighters are better fighters than boxers and say, hey, look, my MMA fighters kicked the shit out of this boxer. I don't know. Go on.
Okay. next article. Kimbo versus James Toney could headline the April 17th show.
No, that's a much better fight.
No, not really. It's much better for James Toney.
Well, it's a much better fight for Toney. Now, that being said, if I was Kimbo, I would take this to the ground immediately.
Yeah, I would race to the ground with lightning speed. And I literally crawl across the cage to Toney.
I mean, but, you know, to be fair, Kimbo's first fight was against Ray Mercer.
And he took him down.
Former heavyweight boxing champion who, as we've seen in the Celia fight and all of his boxing fights, has quite a punch and quite a chin as well. Took him down, submitted him. Quick, done. I can't see Kimbo not doing the same thing here against Toney. So, I mean, I guess we'll see unless somebody gets in Kimbo's ear and... tells him to stand up, i.e. sabotages him.
Yeah, feeds him to the wolves.
Yeah, in which case James Toney's going to murder him. I don't know, so we'll see.
Anyway, it says, Kimbo Slice was supposed to be facing Matt Mitrione in May, UFC 113. In Montreal, rumors are now beginning to spread that Slice could be stepping out of that bout and into one of former boxing champion James Toney on April 17th, which, by the way, is a long ways off from June or July, like Toney was, you know, saying earlier. It is I guess, according to what I've understood.
I think the plan is that if Toney was to take this fight, then he would take the fight with Randy, you know, after this fight in June or July.
Yeah, he said, this is from the Underground. It said, Toney will be on the April 17th card, more than likely against Slice. The main event for that card is Mike Swick and Matt Serra. And people are like, oh, you've hit a home run with this one. Awesome. I'm like, I'll be interested just to see how Toney does, but I don't think this is such a great fight.
I don't think it's a great fight. But like, I don't think any fight Tony's going to be in is going to be a great fight because he's not a great MMA fighter. He's not even an MMA fighter at all.
Right.
He's a boxer who's trying MMA. I mean, at least with Brock, when Brock came in, number one, Dana gave him a hell of a test against Mir. Number two, at least, you know, wrestling translates better.
A lot better.
Especially if you're such a high-level wrestler. You know, if you're such a high-level wrestler, the fight starts standing up, but guess what? It goes to the ground very quickly if you're a very good wrestler. And even if you're against somebody who has jiu-jitsu, if you have really, really, really good wrestling, you can still negate that. Whereas boxing, yeah, you're going to murder a guy in the stand-up if the fight stays standing, and guess what? If it goes to the ground, what are you going to do?
Yep.
I just hope he comes in wearing one boxing glove like Art Jimerson.
Yeah, that worked out really well
for
Art.
That would be amazing.
Okay, now, in this sordid tale, Randy Couture gives James Toney props.
this is the James Toney edition of the mailbag?
Yes, to talking and backing it up. Now, I did not write this article, but I'm going to read it. It's very short, in its entirety, and my God, once again, the people who write these things, and this is from MMA Mania, so be sure to never, ever go there and read their crap.
Okay.
Like many boxers before him, James Toney has run his mouth saying that he could get into the octagon and beat up on any MMA fighter. But unlike Toney, who will make his UFC debut in the coming month, no other boxer has stepped into the cage. And for that, Randy Couture gives the former champion props. Okay, wait a minute.
What?
Other boxers have fought in MMA.
Ray Mercer?
Yeah. I mean,
I think what they were trying to say is that...
Maybe they're trying to say UFC.
No, what they were trying to say is, you know, all these boxers are talking crap, but Toney is actually the one who is going to try his hand as opposed to just standing on the outside like Hopkins, like Mayweather, talking crap. And
oh, so he's the only crap-talking boxer that's
actually willing to try.
Let's see, okay.
Translating.
Yeah, okay. Randy is quoted as saying, several boxers have stepped up and said, we are no good at striking, and they would knock us out. James Toney's no different. He's the first one that's willing to step up and put his money where his mouth is, and I'd love to welcome him into MMA. There's no reason boxers can't be successful in MMA. However, they need to learn, just as I did.
I would have a better chance of fighting a lion than James Toney does of winning a fight. I think I would have a better chance of winning a fight against a lion.
How about just BJ Penn? How about we just do
no,
that?
I think I could beat BJ Penn, but a lion... Oh my. On the other hand.
Well, he's got about 60 pounds on BJ. I mean,
me and the lion.
I don't know.
No, okay. BJ Penn versus a lion.
Hey, BJ Penn stood on the shores of Hawaii and fended off a tsunami.
That's just like, yo, you want this?
You're going to have to go through me, yeah? Okay, come on. I trained really hard for this. I can beat a tsunami. I'm BJ Penn. All right. The final thing I have in this Kimbo James Toney thing, Matt Mitrione still hoping to fight Kimbo in Montreal. With rumors swirling that Kimbo Slice may be fighting James Toney, Matt Mitrione finds himself in a situation where he has no clue what's going on. This probably isn't the first time. But he hopes to still fight his former Ultimate Fighter housemate.
Now, that should have been the headline. Matt Mitrione has no clue what's going on.
Oh, no, this is even better. This is a quote. And this is Matt Mitrione, and I quote... I have no clue what's going on. The last 15 hours have been pretty crazy, Mitrione said. To be truly honest, I haven't heard a thing from the UFC, and it's frustrating me. It's my understanding that it took a while to get his paperwork signed, but I'm sure it's signed. Where there's smoke, there's usually fire. I texted Joe Silva, because I can't dial a phone.
Numbers.
What was happening. If there was any danger of this being canceled, Mitrione said. His response was basically that nothing was official and I should keep preparing, that I'm still fighting in Montreal. Fighting Kimbo is a phenomenal fight for me, and I'm thinking it's a bad fight for Kimbo, Mitrione said. Okay, first of all, the UFC, not Matt himself, have dubbed this guy Meathead. I don't take that as a good sign. Yeah, I'm going to be the gladiator. No, you're going to be retard. Okay. All right, if you say so, yeah. You're the red rooster. Sorry, Terry Taylor, but.
Yeah.
Shane Carwin's ready for a war. I don't care.
Moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
So am I. Let's go.
John Jones is going to be
going to murder Brandon Vera. What?
John Jones is UFC Undisputed 2010.
Oh, sweet.
Pre-order it. He's like one of the fighters you get.
Please tell me you get to use a German suplex. Oh, man, you got to pre-order it to get him? That's crap.
You got to pre-order it from GameSpot. So.
Man,
that is crap. I mean,
you'll receive at least four bonus characters.
If it was Efren Escudero and Ryan Bader, now we're getting screwed out of John Jones. I mean, I can understand Efren and Bader. I don't want to play as them.
Well, even if you did, they weren't even that great once you got them.
That's what I'm saying. Bones is like going to be a heavyweight, is going to be a light heavyweight contender here. Once he beats Brandon Vera.
And yet they've got, James McSweeney on there?
I know! What can Brandon Vera be the pre-order guy that nobody cares about?
Or John Jones, my bad.
Hey, Slash, this week right here did not say anything to piss off anyone.
Publicist, like, chained him up and locked him in a closet.
Alright, go ahead and hit
Frank
the
Frank Mir, I will give you five, I'm your publicist, and I'll give you $5,000 if you don't say anything to anybody.
At least until the Carwin fight is over. Preferably until after you have your rematch with Brock set up.
Whoops, that's the wrong
song.
Your show's over, everybody!
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for joining us. WEC 47 Bulls vs. Cruz took place March 6, 2010 last night as of this recording at the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. Starting off with some preliminary results and working our way up. Ricardo Lamas defeats Bendy Casimir by KO knee, 3 minutes 43 seconds of round 1. Fred Tai Zhao defeats Courtney Buck by rear naked choke, technical submission, 2 minutes 39 seconds into round 1. George Roop and Leonard Garcia was ruled a draw because Roop had a point taken away for a low blow. Anthony Pettis, that's the fight it was. Anthony Pettis and Danny Castillo were the guy I was talking about earlier with the
right.
the low blow that the awful, 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 awful referee didn't notice but pretended like he did. Okay, Anthony Pettis and Danny Castillo, this one was shown on the main card. Fairly back-and-forth fight until Pettis threw a head kick that knocked Castillo's lights right out. Good fight. Not much else to say about it.
Nope.
Chad Mendes defeats Eric Koch by unanimous decision. Scott Jorgensen defeats Chad George in an absolutely epic struggle.
Yes.
Submission guillotine choke, 31 seconds. Interestingly enough, I think it's the only MMA fight that has never had that did not have a single strike thrown the entire fight.
Word.
Bart Palaszewski defeats Karan Darabedian by submission armbar. 4 minutes 40 seconds into the first round. This is another one.
Yeah, Bart. I thought he'd do well, and I was. That one is one of the few fights I totally predicted correctly on.
Yeah. Darabedian was good, throwing some good hands, but then they ended up taking to the ground. Palaszewski just did a good job of grabbing the arm and pulling. That's it. LC Davis defeats Davidas Torres Fabricius and Jens Palver's favorite fight of the night by a majority decision. 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes. 5 minutes into the third round. Stupid. You know, I gotta say, before we get on to the big three fights here, you know, with WEC having such a string of really, really hot cards, this one wasn't as exciting to me as some of the previous ones. I don't know, was I the only one who felt like that, guys, or?
No, I'm right there with you. I thought it was a good card. I mean, it was definitely better than more than 75% of the UFC cards still. Yeah. But compared to the high level of cards we've been seeing,
and
no,
especially
it,
the
it,
hype that was expected
right.
from this. You know, this was really high. You know, this was really hyped up. People were expecting a lot of big things out of this card. I honestly don't think we got him. And like this fight, LC Davis and Davidius Torosavicius. I mean, Torosavicius had a, you know, his last fight I thought was very exciting. And this one just, I mean, it's tough when you have two guys who are so equally matched.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And I don't want to dog them. You know, they were obviously both trying to win very hard, but it,
right.
You know, it's just two guys with very similar styles and were very, very good at those styles negating each other. Moving on to our main card, Javier Vasquez defeats Jens Pulver by submission armbar, 3 minutes 41 seconds into the first round. This fight took place almost exclusively on the ground. A lot of positioning, a lot of rolling. Jens had a really nice sweep of Vasquez at one point. But when it was all said and done, when all the rolling was done, Vasquez just managed to grab a hold of Jens' arm, get it, pull it. Jens had no other choice but to tap, and that led to his fifth straight loss.
Fifth straight loss and 7 out of 8. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely, I mean, if you're a fan of MMA, this would have probably, you would have taken notice of this. And if you're a fan of Jens Pulver, it would have broken your heart. I mean,
yeah,
this guy, he just leaves it all out there.
You know,
he does.
And it's... against somebody as good as Javier Vasquez, you know, Jens was doing a very, very good job of positioning and rolling and on the ground. I guess one of the big errors that he had was when he was throwing some leg kicks at Vasquez when he was on his back, and Vasquez managed to kind of lurch forward, grab Jens' legs, and pull him back to the ground. And I believe that was what led to the ground exchange at that end of the fight. Maybe he should have kind of backed up a little bit sooner or been a little bit more, you know, wary of Vasquez trying that. You know, but one, what seems at the time, relatively small mistake, because, you know, Jens stood up a couple times. I'm sure he was starting to get some confidence that he could, you know, that he could stand up when Vasquez took him to the ground. But unfortunately, it's one time, you know, one minor mistake can lead to the end of a fight sometimes, especially when you're fighting the best guys in the world, like Jens Pulver always does. Joseph Benavidez defeats Miguel Torres by submission guillotine choke, 2 minutes 57 seconds into round 2. If you were to tell me at the beginning of the night that Benavidez was going to submit Torres, I would have laughed at you.
Yes, I agree.
The fight was very even. Benavidez did manage to get Torres to the ground. He was doing a very good job of controlling Torres while he was in Torres's guard. Torres trying for a couple arm bars, Benavidez managing to escape him. Benavidez took Torres down again in the second round, and threw a very sharp elbow that opened a gigantic cut, on the forehead of Miguel Torres that ended up requiring 20 stitches. And at that point, Torres got to the feet. They managed to, you know, did they get to the feet, or was there just more scrambling on the ground?
Seems to me there was more scrambling on the ground.
There's more scrambling on the ground. And then, Benavidez managed to lock up a very nice high guillotine choke, and Miguel Torres had no choice but to tap. You know, and I spoke with Shooter about this before we went on the air, and I think the reason that Torres did in fact get tapped here is because of it was twofold. Number one, he obviously just had a massive cut over his forehead, and he was losing, you know, a lot of blood. That'll disorient anybody.
And it was massive.
Yeah, huge. I mean,
we're talking like Marvin Eastman versus Vitor Belfort.
Yeah,
massive.
This is Diego Sanchez big.
Yeah.
Go look for the pictures online. I'm sure you'll be able to find them. Yep. And I'm also sure that Torres was very well aware of how big that cut was, and he knew that he had very, very short time before the fight was going to be stopped. So he just did, you know, he was just trying to burst and get whatever he could as quickly as possible, and that probably left himself open for the guillotine, which, you know, a lot of people don't understand just how defensive you have to be pretty much at all times in mixed martial arts, otherwise you are going to get caught with something.
Right.
And I think Torres kind of had to throw all caution to the wind after that had happened, and that's what led to him getting submitted.
Yep.
All in all, you know, people are going to start to write Torres off because of this. And Benavidez is a fantastic fighter, as much as I joke about him being Uriah's little buddy, which he is. He's an excellent fighter, a tremendous fighter. And, but, you know, like I said, it's unfortunate that people are going to start to write Torres off when, you know, Torres just, he got a bad cut. He wasn't doing that bad in the fight leading up to this moment.
Right.
You know, but people are going to say, oh, he's, you know, he's overrated, whatever, blah, blah. So be prepared for that if you like to circulate the mixed martial arts forms. In our main event of the evening, Dominic Cruz defeats Brian Bowles by TKO Doctor Stoppage at the end of the second round. Cruz was doing an excellent job of running around. I don't want to say running around because it sounds like he was running away from, but he worked a lot of angles. He was coming from a lot of throwing a lot of feints, a ton of feints, and just trying to basically dance around Bowles and hit him with, you know, quick shots, get in, get out, and it was a very effective strategy. Bowles would try and jump in, throw a couple punches, and he did connect a few times. But Cruz doing a very good job, and during the commercial break, Doctor comes in and stops the fight. Later on, we find out that Brian Bowles broke his hand very, very early on in the fight. And it was still never clear that if that was the reason that the fight was stopped or what exactly caused the doctor to stop the fight. But I'm guessing that the doctor came in to check the nose of Brian Bowles, and then Brian Bowles probably mentioned his hand being broken. And once you mention that sort of thing to a doctor, fight's over. Stops to me.
Yeah, that's pretty much the end of it.
You know, and I already and I'm already hearing it from people. Oh, Brian Bowles is a, you know, he's a pussy. He couldn't fight
whatever.
With hand. Dominic Jamie Varner fought with a broken hand. Uriah Faber fought with a broken hand. Blah, 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 blah.
It wasn't Brian's call. It wasn't Brian's call. It was the doctor's call.
Go break your hand and try and do anything. Anything. Try and open a door. See how that works out for you. And then come back and have the nerve to call somebody a pussy because they couldn't fight for 25 minutes with a broken hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even better yet, yeah, go break your hand and then just go ahead and punch a pillow in your bedroom.
Ah.
First of all, make a fist because that's always fun.
Yeah, try making the fist first. You know, obviously, yes, fighters have fought broken hands before, but there's also differing severities of breaks. I have seen pictures of Bull's hand post-fight, and it was swollen up to about the size of a baseball. So it was a pretty bad break. You know, it sucked that we had to see the fight like that end like that. You know, but Cruz did a good job leading up to the end of the fight, and he employed what was, I have to say, an excellent game plan in using his head to break Brian Bowles' hand.
Mike Brown style.
Yeah, I mean that's just good game planning on my part, you know, if you ask me.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, so, anyway, we have
Dominic
a new champion.
Cruz, your new champion. And that belt's getting passed around like a hot potato. Who do you think's next for it?
You know, that's a good question. I really don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to have a fight before Bowles comes back for his mandatory rematch.
Joel, you think Jorgensen?
Jorgensen should, but...
You're probably right. It probably will be Benavidez, but yeah, I'd rather see Jorgensen get it, but... Benavidez, you can definitely make the case after the performance Benavidez had.
Right.
Get it. That being said, I think that's probably going to be Jorgensen's probably going to either be Torres or Bowles' next fight. I'm betting.
He should. He's running.
That makes sense
now.
Yeah, I'm betting it's either going to be Jorgensen and Bowles or Jorgensen and Torres. Mm-hmm. God, that division's so dangerous. So that. Bantamweight. I mean, WC has so much talent in it in general. It's just
psychotic.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, which makes it so much fun to watch. But you know, it also WC is kind of a different animal. You know, people. You know, you have somebody like Torres who loses two fights or whatever, or Mike Brown, you know, loses to Aldo, and people are so quick to write off fighters after they lose. It's amazing.
Oh yeah.
You know. WEC just has it's in the nature of the organization that like the top three or four guys can all beat each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like the UFC where you have George St. Pierre sitting at the top of the mountain and BJ Penn sitting at the top of the mountain and Anderson Silva sitting at the top of the mountain. You know, in WEC, their top three, four, maybe even five guys in every division they have can beat each other. Varner can beat Cerrone, who can beat Henderson, who can beat Varner. Brown can beat Aldo. You know, you got Faber in there. You have 135, you have Torres, you have Bulls, you have Cruz, you have Jorgensen. You have Hani Yahya. I mean, it's such a different thing, and I think people need to kind of get away from this whole, oh, this guy's lost two fights, he's washed up, he's done culture, because it's just, you can't apply that in WEC because the top four or five guys are all so dangerous that they can beat each other on any given night.
Right.
Well, it's not just that. I think that's in MMA in general.
I agree, but, you know, like I said, UFC is just, I think we've all, you know, a lot of people have kind of gotten spoiled on that because their champions are so dominant. You know, yeah. Anderson Silva is so dominant. George St. Pierre, BJ Penn. These guys are all really, really dominant fighters. And I think people are used to that. And, you know, they have this idea that the champion should be this unbeatable force instead of just a very good fighter in a land of other really, really good fighters. And,
right.
You know, I think it just leads to people writing fighters off way, way before they should.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
No, man. I think you hit the nail on the head.
That's right. Yep. I nailed that head.
Okay.
All right. Catching my breath after we ran through that thing at light speed.
It was fast.
It was.
I just want to make a quick mention before we get to Jen's, because that'll probably take up the rest of our time. Derek and I got to go to Ground and Pound Promotions 13 last night.
Woohoo!
Greenville, Michigan. Had a really great time. Want to send out a big thank you to Paul and Tom, the heads of Ground and Pound. These guys are great. Also, say hello and thank you to Shannon and TJ from our friends at Fright Michigan. And also, of course, to Ohio Martial Arts Center. Senpai Blanco, Sensei Hertzellers, thank them for coming and hanging out with us at the quote-unquote press table. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, some good fights. Title fights were very entertaining. I got to see some up-and-comers, and now that I've gone to so many of these things, I'm starting to have actually, like, favorite amateur fighters from their little organization.
Yeah.
Who are my favorites for no other reason than I see them fight all the time, and while they may not be the most skilled, they're damned entertaining.
Hey, everybody's gotta start somewhere.
Exactly.
That night there were a couple guys who looked really special again, you know.
Yeah.
Bo Vincent, who we've seen fight twice now, both first round knockouts, looked fantastic.
Yep.
So nothing wrong with that, dang.
And also talk about Octopus Prime.
Oh god.
Just because he's colorful, but dude. Colorful isn't going to get it, as you found out last night as you got crushed.
Props to John Carpenter for that.
Let's see. Ramon Pacheco. Like Ramon. Watch him fight all the time. He's scrappy and could probably get the hardest chin of anyone I've ever seen in my life. I mean, really, this guy has got a head made of stone. So anyway, yeah, great time, good time. We definitely appreciate it. Big ups to the Ground and Pound guys. And I have to make sure to, I promised them that I would tell Jens that they all said hello to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So why don't we call Little Evil and let's
Senior Pulver?
Yes, let's do this.
All right.
Gotta psych myself up for it, man. For all I know, he's going to be in the best mood ever, or he's going to be, like, horrible.
I don't think it's going to be in a bad mood.
Probably not. I mean, he's got so many good things, and Jens is one of those guys you don't ever mind.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, he doesn't answer. Jens!
What's up?
Hey man, it's Shooter from Rear Naked Radio. Thanks for coming on the show today.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm just waking up.
We can tell.
We seemed to always.
It was crazy though because we had to leave at like 5 in the morning to go to the airport, and then it's 7:58. And so we never went to sleep after the phone. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Snap. Ugh.
So,
I'm so sorry to disturb your sleep, man.
Yeah, don't. Oh, it seems like
you're awake. Oh, no, you didn't wake me up, man. No, I'm up.
Oh, okay.
So last night, man, I don't know what to say except that sucks ass.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you do? I don't know. I mean, I got out of some shit. I mean, some stuff, sorry.
Yeah, you could say
yeah,
shit.
No, you
I, had, I think I even had him. I think I even had him in some submission trouble. I mean,
These are the great black belts.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
you could definitely tell just from watching the fight how prepared you were for, you know, for this to go to the ground. You did very, you know, there was a lot of positioning. You know, you had one beautiful sweep early on in the first.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely seemed prepared, but it's just, you know, you. Like,
hey, he hit that. Hey, more power to me. Hit that armbar. My thing was though, I made two. You know, the one I was really trying to, I mean, lambaste that leg when we were standing. I wanted to kick that thing, and then you know he was getting it on. But then I had him down, and rather than step away, I decided to go for that third kick with my right leg, and kind of missed by him. And you know, but I don't know. I guess I would be a lot more humble about it all. This isn't my fifth loss in a row,
mm-hmm.
but I look at this loss compared to the other ones, and I take all the positives from it, and it's like, man, all right, it's like everything else in my life or in life in general, I'm in the right direction. Me and Tony have only been together for a little over 3 months, you know, running this gym. At the same token, we've been doing this, and he's already changed my mind, having that game plan. And just having fun again. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but it definitely was fun this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, go ahead.
No, I just noticed that in the beginning of the fight, you didn't touch gloves with Vasquez, who put his hand out for the touch. I assumed, because we had spoken, obviously, before the fight that, you know, you were – you needed to get angry for this fight. I assume that that was a continuation of that and not a slight to Vasquez, as some may.
Well, you know, the thing about touching and all that was, it was just me. I just wanted to stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be. Everybody, for some reason, man, all these guys, somehow when it comes to me, they want to, you know, they'll be my friend. Hey, let's do this, or can we? I think they understand the cardinal rule. Hey, if you can make this a sparring match with Jens, it's kind of, he's going to go easy, and then you can just kind of challenge on him and catch him. You know, I just couldn't, I wanted to fight. I didn't want to touch gloves. We touch gloves. When the referee says touch gloves,
yeah,
come out swinging.
Mm-hmm.
We did it. We don't need to keep doing it every time someone kicks someone in the balls or in the leg or a good punch or I wanted to fight. You know, my life, my career, everything about me is on the line. I just wanted to fight, and that's why I didn't touch gloves. And it was absolutely no disrespect to him or
mm-hmm.
the sport or anything like that, but we did touch gloves. Referee said, touch gloves, come out swinging. Well, I come out. I had a game plan. My mind was set on one thing, and I just didn't want to give up, you know, because I just want to break away from it.
Right. Oh, and that's the thing, too. Also, you mentioned just about, I mean, I don't think anybody really even, I mean, yeah, it had to be mentioned here on the show, but I don't think anyone took it as a slight against Vasquez. I mean, by the way, the people of Columbus really love you, dude.
Hey, that was, wow, man.
That was incredible.
God, I love Sacramento. Dang, Ohio, wow. That was crazy. Seriously, the weigh-ins and then, I mean, could you imagine if I'd have won? He'd still be sitting there rocking the place out, you know? I don't know. I mean, I'll be dying. No, I can't thank them enough. That was incredible. The fans in general, I mean, it was incredible, you know? There's not much else I can say. The weigh-ins, all of it, they just, damn, that's about all I got. It was nuts.
Right.
You know, but I appreciate them more than anything in the world. They were loud. It was, I mean, I'm climbing down the side of the ropes. I'm waving to them all. I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, God, I tried again, you know. I'm like, I don't know what to tell y'all. But I just wave. I love them. I mean, how many athletes get to do that? Seriously.
Well, exactly.
They're losing. They're losing. And the fans are loving them, you know. Yeah. That's a rarity. You know, that's a rarity. I'm very, very lucky.
Well, I think I mean, we've always talked about it before when you've been on the show and everything. And, you know, even if you like comb the internet and the forums and stuff, you don't really find anyone saying a bad word about you.
Mm-hmm. You know, just little punk asses in like the underground. But
well, yeah, see, I don't even go there.
You know, yeah, you don't even go to that one. No, for the most part, no.
Yeah, the educated sites, how about that? The people who
actually...
Yeah,
there we are. Yeah. The little smart-ass kids who get to hide. They think they hide. But yeah. They don't understand the IP addresses. Oh, my God.
Well, no, but what I'm just saying is, man, it's really a special thing because you can go out there and, you know, you lose, but at the same point, you know, you get so much love. I mean, it touched me as a fan. Just to, you know, cause I missed the fight live when it happened. I was at another card. Oh, by the way, the card we were at, the promoters there at Ground and Pound wanted to tell me that they love you and, they think you're the best. But, so I saw the replay and I mean, I'm not going to lie and I was upset. You know, I hate it. I hate seeing you lose. You're like my favorite fighter, you know, not to suck your dick too much.
Fight,
but...
I would come out throwing, you know, lost.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You go out, nobody doubts your heart, nobody doubts your skills, nobody doubts the respect that you are deserved, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I love about them. They know I'm here, you know, they know what I'm there. I can't even describe where it puts me, you know, the place. It's pretty amazing, and I can't, at the same token, it's tough, but man, mm-hmm. Tell you what. It's awesome. The fans are incredible. You know? Yeah, the fight was rough, man. The day was tough. I mean, I'm going to come back to the gym. I'm going to hang at Driven. I'm going to start training these guys. Maybe they go to Puerto Rico or something. Then the month, we'll see what's up. I got to push this tap-out shit. Did y'all see that tap-out shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it actually a couple days. Yeah, I saw it a couple days before... before the fight, and I laughed, and it was so much your style. I actually heard that there's kind of a funny story behind the shirt, if you wanted to share that.
Well, you know, it was, we were sitting there, and I was at the, because I had the one, I mean, it just, well, we'll just leave it where it is, gone. And so anyways, we were sitting, I was at the warehouse, and I walk in, these guys are grouped up, and I see this one shirt, and it has a real small one, and I go, hey, what the? Well, look at this. I go, that's it. I have this shirt. Well, you know, Scrape loves it. He thinks it's just, I'm looking at Scrape. I go, Scrape. I go, come on, man. I go, this is me. I go, I got to have this shirt. And he says, oh, man, I love this shirt. I love this shirt. I go, oh, yeah? And I go, 007-373-5963. He goes, what? What is that? I go, that's the code to Mike Tyson. He goes, that's your shirt right there. So yeah. He gave me the shirt, right? And he goes, okay, that's your shirt. I still have the code. I don't know how. In my, it's like the up, up, down, down,
yeah.
Left, ABBA Contra code. You know? And I just have the Tyson code, 007-373-5963 Tyson.
So
why I remember it.
Any of you listeners at home have Mike Tyson's punch out. We're giving away free video game cheat codes right here on the show. Curtis,
yeah, I mean, yeah, we're doing a game shark, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. So he let me. He said I could have, and that became, yeah, that's my new signature shirt. And yeah, I was like, I just wanted a shirt that had my name nowhere on it, except for they did it on the sleeve. It said Player One. Did I'm like, all right, that's cool. You can have it over there because I didn't want it anywhere, but. Man, the little blowfish, they're the fish off Super Mario Brothers. They're so sick. Like fish tattoos. Yeah, that shirt's crazy. I love it. So, that was pretty cool to have old vintage, authentic, you know, Tyson shirt. So, that was mine. And it says game on the back, and I figured, you know, enough skulls and...
Yeah, you know, that is true. There's a lot of, you know, skulls and Grim Reapers and all this kind of, like, macabre macho stuff. It's actually nice to see something different that's still, you know, like, you know, that still has fighting.
I am gaming machine.
Yeah.
I mean, I got some shirts coming in from Jinx. I got a couple of mage shirts coming in. It's one of the characters for World of Warcraft. I got a mage shirt in the Alliance. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So I'm going to do that one. And then I don't know if you ever seen our shirt by Driven. We got the Uncle Sam, the Ground and Pound. Rather than do your regular everyday American flag, he's got the big old Uncle Sam. He's got a big old black eye. And the flag kind of torn up behind him. You can see the face in it. And then it says Ground and Pound from 1776. And that's a kind of a fight shirt, I guess, or our athletic shirt is a, you know, a Ground and Pound. Pretty sick. Whoa. Angry as a gift and stuff like that. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So
keep going.
I'm wandering, man. I'm on like a yellow submarine right now. I'm so tired. I couldn't even. I'm just happy to be home.
I bet.
Now, of course.
It hit me hard until I got in. I mean, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and we were.
And I almost got upset for a minute. I was like, nah, forget it.
And we were actually discussing that, you know, obviously it is a big blow to lose a fight that, you know, you really work so hard for, and we know how much you put into your fights, but you get home, you see your family, you know, you realize all the great stuff that you do have, and, you know, it kind of makes the other stuff seem a little bit smaller by comparison.
I mean, it took away the sting, but at the same token, I'm sitting here, the fight's past, and I'm just, you know, all I can basically chalk you up is, damn it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. And, you know, I just got to look at what we got coming up. I got good fighters. Like you said, my family. You know, I got to go. I'm going to go up. It's been weird. I can't believe it's been 3 months locked in this camp. I haven't been able to hang out with them. And so it's hard to snap out of it, you know?
Right.
I don't even know what it's going to be like after they go over it all together. Retirement. I don't even know.
Now, of course, the talk circulating around the MMA community right now.
You just said retirement.
Yeah. Will he or won't he? And, you know, I it's a little cliche to kind of pin you down and ask you for that, because I'm sure that you probably still don't know right now.
But we have to ask. It's kind of our job.
You got to do it.
Yeah. So are you going to retire, man?
As I said, I'm not going to be that guy, man. It's going to retire twice. So I'm only 34. Physically, I think you could see it out there. I felt great. I looked great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's
fine.
With all...
Games get knocked out. Once again, this is a fight I'm losing, but I'm not getting knocked.
Yeah. I was just going to bring that up with the Faber fight, with the Grisby fight, and now with this one, it's not like you're getting pummeled half to death. You know, it's you're rolling around, you're fighting, and you just get
caught.
You know, I mean, the first Faber fight, you know, you guys went all, you know, you guys went the distance. You went all 5 minutes.
That boy can wing a right hand, and that damn thing, it clipped me.
Yeah.
I'm a butt cheek for me, but he throws that thing as hard as, I thought he was going to land it on the roof. I'm like, dude, he's 2 seconds away from winning any fight at any time, the way he can whip that right hand.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he's going to catch him. You know, Root was playing a danger game. I thought, I'll be damned if he's going to catch him, you know. But, yeah, so point being, you know, I'm losing my arm. I'm losing the dumb things. And we've all known, go back to the beginning of my career. Yeah, I've beaten black belts. I've beaten jiu-jitsu experts.
Some guy named Penn.
Am I a jiu-jitsu? I'm not a jiu-jitsu. I've never claimed to be. Never said I was going to be, never planned on trying to be. I'm a catch wrestler, and I almost caught him. I almost did get my choke, you know? So I'm still working.
That would have been done.
34, you know? Yeah, exactly. At 34, I mean, I've beat Perumpina. I've beaten BJ Penn. I've gone against great guys. BJ come back and give me a swift kick in the ass. So, I mean, it happened.
But once again, that's
the best part about the down game. You know,
yeah,
she is.
I mean,
and people need to understand Vasquez is very, very good on the ground.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He's always been very good on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially with his knees and things like that, he's worked on a little bit of stand-up, but he don't want to stand up. He knows where he wants it to go. And I just made one mistake again. And, you know, I think Mommy said it best. When you're jacking with these elite guys, and we're talking about top 10, not the same, you know, out of shape schmucks you watch, no offense to them, but the guys that are drinking and not really taking it serious, fighting at a amateur show on a Tuesday night fight at some bar. It's not the same thing, man, but people say, well, I see these guys. It's not the same, man. I'm fighting the elite, the best guys there is. Shit happens, man. I'm just going hitless right now. Hitless. So I can't say that I'm going to retire because that's not, it's not going to, you know. But am I going to figure out life outside of fighting? Yeah. Am I going to figure out, can I make a living? Absolutely. And no offense, and I mean no offense to Stephen Bonner, and I'm not going to be a dick, but, I mean, I'd like to start commentating, and by all means, man, if they need someone to take his place, my hand
yeah.
is up.
No.
I mean, I had to sit in that locker room and listen to the same crap everybody else did. I'm not really down with this commentary. No offense, dude, but it's no
you
offense.
Just keep it real. And that,
that's
and
my
that's
job.
A...
That's mine. And
right.
I like it, and I have fun out there. And so I would love to commentate. You know, Mir does a great job. Mir and myself, he's a thesaurus. He can name every move and tell you what it is. I'm not. I'm your average everyday guy watching on the TV going,
yeah.
Damn, he's got him by the arm. That probably hurts.
Frank Mir can name every move, tell you what it is, and tell you how he used it on a guy in practice. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I could just tell you that, you know what, that probably sucked and he should have moved. He probably shouldn't have given that up, you know? That's about me. But that I've always loved that. That's just the style I've always tried to go after.
Well, it works too. Plus, to be perfectly honest, I mean, while keeping it real, yeah, I mean, no offense to Stefan or anything like that, but.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Frank does tend to favor certain fighters, and when I've heard you do commentary, I don't hear a whole lot of favoritism. I mean, you could, I'm sure.
I mean, I've even had to butcher it. Almost doesn't pay to be my friend on some of them because I'm butchering you. It's like if I'm sitting at home going, you son of a, come on, you know, I want better for my teammate, you know.
But to be fair, man, in a rather Rocky-esque tear-inducing moment, I still remember you jumping up on the commentary table when Matt won his belt.
Hey.
Giving him a big hug.
You remember what Golden said is, here he comes, little evil, because he was on a dead run for me. I was in tears. Well, I was tough. I was so happy for him.
Yeah.
I remember that, but he was coming. He hopped over that octagon. It was either I get up or he's going to tackle all of us. So I was, you know, you can't
you took one for the team.
Exactly. I took for the commentators. That's what I told him. I go, because you know Matt, man. He's like a big brother. He just beats on you. You're like, hey, that hurts. Don't tell him that. He's going to go harder. You know?
Right. Now, real quick, just to get a little off topic here, you know, Matt's got a big fight coming up against some Gracie guy. I don't know. You hear about this?
Garcia. I don't know.
Yes, Garcia.
Renzo Garcia.
Renzo Garcia, something like that.
Yeah.
How
I don't
do you
know, you know. I know he's been up here with Jimmy a couple times.
Yeah, he was just talking about that it, he had a great time up there. I'm glad he's still training with Jeremy, you know.
You know, so my, well, that's, you know, now I'm only a few hours away from him, so that's another place we can add in and have some fun. And right after that, we were just so focused on getting our gym up and running. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm glad Matt still gets to do that, and, you know, he still snags it from, you know, he's still serious about it. So I like him. I still think Matt has all the power in the world. He can win. I think he can beat anybody, you know, as long as he doesn't get in the stand-up war. Never liked that boxing. It's never been the same, you know. So, but ultimately, I think he's going to do just fine. I think he's a powerful wrestler. If you're going to go after him submission-wise, you got to catch him. You got to catch him quick, and that's what Holman did successfully twice. But the reality is, because you're not going to beat Matt Hughes in a strength game. You know what I mean? You're not going to beat him in a position game. That's why no jiu-jitsu specialist from day one is ever going to beat Matt, because that's too much power. He's way too strong. But if you can catch him in transition, like Holman had his number twice. Yeah,
and with GSP in their
yeah.
in their third fight, a similar
yep.
situation.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You got to catch Matt in transition. If you do, then, you know, he has it favored. But don't just try to play the who's going to come, we'll come straight at each other strikes game. You're going to get, you won't beat him. I don't care who you are. You are not as strong as Matt Hughes. I don't care how much you lift. I don't care what you do. I can't wait. You are not as strong as Matt Hughes. He's the strongest man I've ever met.
Now, I got a question here. have our Facebook page opened up, and people go ahead and IM me questions for you and stuff. Somebody asked me if you were to be in a movie, or if someone was to make a actual like big Hollywood production film of your life, who would you like to see play you?
You know, I got asked that. I think I had to go with I think Spider-Man gets it. I think Tobey Maguire gets it. I actually got asked that because we were messing around with the. Obviously, we have the documentary, which is going to finish up here real soon, and I think it was Tobey Maguire, I believe. Now, would I want Toby? I don't know. I think I'd go on a hunt. I would find an original, never-before actor, you know, so you can get that derelict, stupid, you know, that's a hard part of me. That's a hard thing that, you can't act that. You just got to be that dumb guy, you know? And don't get me wrong, I'm not putting myself down. I'm just kind of, I've always been that way. Just a little bit, I don't pay attention. Yeah, okay. You know, so maybe we'll find somebody. Maybe we can make a star, you know, a diamond in the rough.
There we go.
They could play me. But I know this, when I see it, it just depends what age, too. You know, what age are they going to be playing me? Are they going to play the adult, you know, little evil? Are they going to be the middle age? You know, right. I don't know.
It's right. Going to be a movie all about your video gaming career.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, he fights too, but
that's like the side plot. Oh yeah, he is the UFC lightweight champion.
Occasionally he has to turn off the game to go fight somebody, but then he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that'd be the thing, because I don't think anybody would get past, because, you know, the one cool thing, and this was awesome, and people don't really get, they didn't really know, or they didn't, The third guy I had in my corner. Number one, it was incredible to have Tony. I mean, it was awesome to have Tony Strickland there.
Right.
Finally have a game plan again. And again, this isn't putting Pat down, but man, 4 years of sitting around doing nothing, just putting Jim, you know, doing your own thing. I mean, that's why UCLT, he's somewhere else. That's why you don't see anybody down there. Everybody got tired of coaching each other, you know, so, and that's another thing. I mean, I moved out here to make this change. So I'm trying to get back in the game. Now that was the coach that's actually giving me game plans and things to do, and that's kind of the first look we got to see with Tony. Anyway, obviously my little brother was there. But my third one, I got to bring my friend Ricky Christian, who's pretty much known me since I was, man, I had to be 3 years old. He's known my family. They were on the racetrack at the same time, and he's always been like my older brother. So it was pretty cool to have him, older brother. He won 3 state titles and I won 2 in high school. He's known all about my child abuse. You know, I mean, he's known everything about me. He's the reason I came to Boise State. So that's one of the reasons when I came back to Boise, that was probably one of the best things was now I have my older brother with me as well. And so, I mean, there was a lot of peace and a lot of fun going on in that cage. And so I got to tell people, man, it's weird. I mean, yeah, I'm taking these L's in the case, but man, every time so far, if I can only tell you how much my life in itself has advanced, dang, I mean, it's a huge W. It does suck on losing professionally in the process, but if you'd have seen where I came from to where I'm standing now, kind of guess I had to make the deal, you know? I had to make the deal with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I wanted that home life. That's the whole reason why I started this whole thing, fighting.
Yeah. Well, you're blessed to have it, man.
Yeah, when you know someone like me, you know, that was the same place where nothing but pain, torture, horror, and you watch your mother get beat to the bloody pulp, your brothers get smashed every night, you're getting woke up, come help me, you know, you're around people that treat you like trash, and then you get to be in a home like this, your sons, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it's huge. Now I got my bigger brother with me and my little brother close, so. Some great things are going to happen, man. And I might actually create a fighter, too. You know, we'll see what happens.
I think you'd be an amazing coach, personally. I think, you know? Yeah,
We're starting it. And the first thing I always have to give them, I mean, it's my first one. I told the boys I'm the Ultimate Fighter. Do as I say, not as I do, because I do some dumbass stuff in the ring. So, you know, once you get punched, I understand things kind of go out the window. But, you know, so, yeah, the gym's called Driven. We've got a USA Wrestling Kids program right next to it. So we're pushing the kids. We're going to open a learning center right next to it. And the only thing that sucks is this one guy that lives around here. I don't know why, but he's going to open a tap out gym. I think he's going to try and do like 8 miles or something.
We can burn that down for you if you like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're just at, well, it's not even a tap out people that know it, you know what I'm saying? But he's going to bring his tap out facility, research center in, all that, and it's, you know, whatever. I don't care. You know,
now,
not that I don't love tap out, but now I'm making it school against the logo.
Now, one thing, you kind of brought it up. I did want to hit on it a little bit. Once again, you get a lot of this, you know, kind of bullshit on the internet where people are talking about, some quote unquote alleged heat between you and Pat Miletich because of some comments you made, which basically just said, you know, he hasn't been building any new fighters and stuff. And, you know, they're like, well, you know, Jens is, you know, he's talking about Pat Miletich. And I'm like, it's not like you said anything that was untrue.
Yeah, you know, when I said the supposed leader and things like that,
right.
And again, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm not bashing, and there's no way. But what I said was, you know, everybody had always said, oh, there was some secret recipe, you know, there's some secret thing that Pat was doing, you know. And I watched, he took all this quote unquote glory for it, when the reality, and that's just what I was trying to tell you, there was no secret recipe. There was all of us wailing on each other, and at that time in this sport, just being the toughest guy to be able to train all day, have great wrestlers, go against great stand-up guys, made a great fighter. I mean, look, we were proof, you know, we did it. But it wasn't one guy. We were, and that's when I said on, I said, we were all leaders. One day at a time, somebody was always stepping up, leading, you know, pushing the rest of us, getting us ready to go, you know, and doing things like that. So that was just the only conversation where I was saying, you know, don't sit there and tell me how we had one guy teaching all of us. And I said, if that were the case, if there was just one guy doing that, it's kind of like, you know, you got to look at, okay, well, how many had they brought up from scratch? Is there more coming? Are they, you know, is there, are they just whipping out drove after drove of these up-and-coming fighters? I'll tell you who it is, man. Rufus. Dang. Hey, Anthony, that was, I mean, that was just disgusting last night, that kick to the face. That was gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This is young, but he's popping out young guys left and right. Kern, he throws a few out. So that's just what I was saying. I was like, where are the MFS young bucks? And if you try to tell me Ben Rothwell's a young buck, you got a serious problem. You know, LC Davis, who's 30. That's, to me, that's not a young buck. The young buck's 19, 20. Where are they? I don't see a one of them. Not a single one. Why? And that's all I've ever asked, you know. If there was some secret recipe, if it really was one man leading the whole thing, then that recipe shouldn't change. You know what I mean? If I'm the only one who knows how to cook that goulash, then it should taste the same pretty much no matter who comes up and tries it. I mean, it is what it is. Me and Tony, we have a system that we're gonna train all the fighters. They're gonna come up through the same thing. They're gonna come up through the same way. We just happen to all be tough. That's where the mystique of MFS came up, you know. We'd be called the Corn Belt Rough Riders.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't, you know, if I didn't come in and go, you're crazy. We gotta be a system. And Steve Miletich fighting system.
My
name would have been Corn Belt Rough Riders. I am not joking. For 10 years, I'd have been a Corn Belt Rough Rider. How would that been?
He is a Corn Belt Rough Rider fighter.
Oh, man, we got to
talk
about
that. Yeah, he is a Corn Belt Rough Rider Rider. He's a Corn Belt Rough Rider Rider. He's 2-0. Yeah, no. So, thank God he's still listening. But that was pretty much the only thing. I wasn't trying to make no beef. I mean, Pat and everybody, they're still my family, but I just don't like when everybody makes the big, we had this one great leader, and that was the comment when I was talking about the cage and stuff like that. How would you not have a cage to work in if you could have, you know, if you could make your own camp, why wouldn't you have a cage there?
Right.
That's what you fight in. It's like boxers when they're getting ready to fight and go in the ring. Do they train in a boxing ring? Yeah, they do. And I bet you when they put the camp together, they make sure the first thing in there is a ring. You know? I sat on a wrestling mat for too long trying to pretend I was in a cage. You know, it was ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I think that answers what you were saying.
Sorry, I'm just stuck. No, it answers me totally. I'm just stuck on the Porn Belt Rough Rider thing, man.
Oh, fire off, man. We'll keep going. I'll tell you something. Yeah, it's easy, man. You just keep throwing little points at me. You'll just keep me going. I won't even stop. Someone actually asked me that. I was actually asked that. I mean, you know, it was one thing. He wasn't mocking me. He goes, you know, he goes, you really like this, or is this like your image? I'm like, you know, like your persona. I'm like, crazy? I'm like, no. I go, sometimes I'm too bluntly honest. I go, I get myself in trouble. But no, I'm not just wanting to be cool with the fans because I think everybody's ever known me. That's how I am. I never decided to go, well, today is my day. I'm going to change my persona. I'm not going to be little evil. I'm going to be little goodness, the Sandman. You know, I didn't, no, this is just how I am. So it was cool that he asked it though. He's like, you seem to care too much about the fans. He goes, I know. I love them. They're my friends. They ain't my fans.
Now, speaking a little more about plans.
Now, see, when you start to talk,
I just found my son's cowboy boots. I'm like, I just got thrown off. I'm sitting here looking at his cowboy boots.
He's like, screw you, Cowboy Joe. There's cowboys here.
What's that?
I completely understand that your son comes before us, Jens. Don't worry.
Well, no, it wasn't that. I was just walking by, and I just happened to look up, and like, look at these cowboy boots. I'm checking them out. They got little tractors on the bottom. And my son got new cowboy boots. So, oh, and by the way, he just took Penguin down, has him in the mouth. And I'm not teaching this kid this stuff. I'm not. I'm telling y'all. But it looks like the Penguin just passed his guards. But he does stuff. He knows sprawl. He can box. It's not like I'm teaching. He just loves it. Anyway, my fault. Go ahead.
No problem. In getting back on the subject of your plans for the future, I know you're obviously weighing your options, but would you, you know, should you plan on continuing to fight? And you know, honestly, we've discussed it, and like Shu said, I don't want to be kissing your ass here, but honestly, I feel like you still have more, you know, more left in you to show to the MMA world, so I really hope you do consider continuing to fight. If that is what you end up doing, are you looking to stay in WEC, or are you looking to maybe make the rounds on some smaller cards, much like, you know, your longtime training partner and friend Jeremy Horn has pretty much made his living off of, or at least his fighting career off of fighting?
Well, you know, the thing. I love the WEC, the UFC family. God, I've been in there building that thing from day one. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be with them, you know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know if Dana's going to even say, hey, we want you to commentate. I mean, you know, who knows? I said, they're just going to be sitting back and figuring out. I would love to stay in there and then maybe down the road say, hey, you know, I'm ready to fight. Let's get crazy, you know, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months down the road. All right, let's slow down, you know. But we'll see. I got no idea. If I could, I mean, me, the way I look at it, I shoot like a baseball game. My neck, I got a doubleheader. I'm ready to go. I'll fight tomorrow. I'd do it again. I'd fight anybody they asked. I'd fight within a week. So except for making the weight. It's the only thing that's tough. If I didn't have to do the weight, then I'd fight again. It's just like when I wrestle. I wrestle every weekend in tournaments all the time. I'd love to just keep fighting. Fight whatever they want, whenever they want. Just keep doing it. Yeah, man, I get some bumps, but I'd like to keep in there. So, really, I mean, yeah, I'm going to go out there and see it, see what happens. Definitely mess with the, I would love to commentate. But, you know, I've done some, I got to speak at a couple of high schools now. I thought that was real cool, doing the public speaking and working with them. I mean, the entire gymnasium full of them. whew, I was crazy. And I loved it. I mean, I had a great time talking to them all. But I just don't know where to start. I don't know how. I mean, I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to get this, make it happen. So we'll just see. If Dana calls them and says, hey, we want you to commentate, you know, the pay-per-view and everything, WC, and I'm going to say, yeah, be there. Until then, I'm going to, you know what, I got a gym. I want to promote this shirt, this one-of-a-kind shirt on Tap Out. It's on the front of the site, I believe, but there ain't another Tap Out shirt like this. And I want to just build these kids around here, man, build MMA around here, and we'll just see what happens. I don't know. But so, I'm not done fighting. No way.
Awesome.
Yeah, remember, I was born with a gun in my face. That's all I've ever done is fight, one way or another. That's all I know.
Getting a little getting out of the little less long term, what's in Jens Pulver's immediate future? Video games?
What are you going to eat?
Yeah, my brother, I'm hanging with my son. He's running luck. My wife is cooking. Big old thing of soup right now. My brother's birthday is next weekend, so I'm going to go up there and hang with Abel. See him on his birthday. And I got a gym, man. I got Cody Zeemer, Zach Owens, Corey Kaywood, Casey Johnson. I got all these tough little boogers from right out here in Nampa. Just going to go back in there and start working with them. It's time to let them know there's another side to this. I want them to, you know, they're not going to learn. Definitely not from me. I'm not going to be that guy who loses the fight and takes off crying for 2 weeks. Whatever else, thousands. I'm going to show up at the gym tomorrow with my head up and go, hey, man, that's the game we play, man. You want to play with swords, sometimes you're going to get cut. So I'm going to give them, I'm going to teach them by walking into that gym. Well, let's keep training. We can cry about this or we can, you know. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be down there driven, doing my thing.
All right. Now I got two last questions for you. First one has nothing to do with anything in particular, man. But I just got to know.
What I've been wondering, not much has. No,
yeah, exactly. Just kind of, you know. And that is, after your fight, have you had or would you plan on having some giant, great, big meal either by your wife or at a restaurant or something? And if so, what the hell are you eating?
Yeah, we're having it right now, and it's pho. It's the pho. What kind of, now, what is this joy, I mean, Vietnamese soup. And so we have the big broth over here boiling in a monster pot. We have Chinese sausage. My son running around yelling. We have...
Not on the menu, though.
Just we have pork, chicken. No, it's tough. Unless you go to a decent pho restaurant, then yeah. We got our noodles in one pan. We have our basil. We have our jalapenos, our mint, our cilantro, and then you got to go to the sauce. I'm giving you guys. You guys don't. You ask, you're gonna get it. So I got the hoisin sauce. We have the fish sauce, and then the roast garlic pepper, which it makes it all hot. And you put it all together, and then dump the broth on there. That's tough. You tell you sick. I've been waiting, man. I've been waiting for 3 months to eat this. I've been waiting 3 months for my food. So, you know, I've been waiting a long time. I have. So, am I smiling? I'm smiling. Yeah. So I get to eat this. Man, I can't, man, come on. I can only cry so long about losing. Come on, it happens. You know, I can't let, it don't define me. But, no.
I don't think anything does, man. I don't think anything defines you. You're kind of all over the place.
That's blank white page. That's my definition.
There you
blank
go.
White page.
All right. And
my wife's even laughing. I can't even got her to giggle.
Now, the last thing I got is, when was the last time you talked to Tim Sylvia? And I have a reason why I'm asking.
When did I just talk to Tim? I don't know. It wasn't that long ago, but I don't know, a month. I think it's been a month, month and a half.
Now, sure. I can tell you almost positively that Tim probably will not hear this show. And I just got to know, what are your real feelings about Tim Sylvia?
All right.
And I say this because...
I can't hear your questions all the time.
Well, when I actually spoke to him, he talks about how you were the meanest son of a bitch when he got to Miletich, and you picked on him and you made him feel bad and everything. Which I love the irony of that, considering you were one of the smallest guys there. And he would go home and cry.
Was this, and I wish there were more people that did it. You know what? You don't put on a tap-out shirt or an MFS shirt and walk around and start looking at people mean-mugging me and walk around like you're some kind of something because you have a shirt on. Get away from me, man. Don't do that. I go, you earn it. Get your butt in this gym and train every day and earn it. And that's the way I was with him. If anybody else, all these wannabes, these putzes I deal with and listen to all the time around here, how they lie. Like, we got this one guy, Brandon Shuey. God love the retard. 3-time world champion. We don't know it was because he's never been outside of Idaho. We have no clue. He lost people who've never had a fight, called it a setup. But he has on this poster that they made a poster. Yeah. And he has 3-time world champion on it. We don't even know, but if you look at the belt, he bought it a title. And I love titles, they're my sponsor. But he still bought the damn belt a title. It's like, I go, are you serious? You think they're going to give you a world title that looks like that? Looks like, you know, the ringside cheap belt? Come on, dude, quit playing. So anyways, you get people like that all the time. So back in the day with Hughes and everybody, you know what? You come in and you earn it. I don't care if you had skills. This isn't about skills. This isn't about how tough you are. But if you're in there every day and you're training, awesome. If we find you running around trying to be this guy today, I'm talking, I got the MFS shirt on here. Come on, man. Seriously, the little guy's going to come out of his cage and he's going to chop on you. But now, here's the thing I do about Tim. Tim, I love. As a person, personally, I love him. He is my son. He is my son's godfather.
And oh, all right.
This is why. Yeah, yeah. No, that's my son's godfather, Tim Sylvia. And I'll tell you why. Tim can take care of Tim's stuff like you wouldn't believe. So if Carson became his, there's no doubt in my world that he would do everything under the sun to take care of Carson. In that retrospect, the professional Tim has to be one of the biggest jackass dicks I've ever come across in my life. The professional guy has me step back sometimes going, are you serious? That dude's flash didn't even go off and you already got him gas faced. Can I get a picture? He's giving you the push away. The guy hasn't had a chance to push the button. I'm like, what? Come on now. Quit playing, dude. Don't do that. You know, I'm like, Tim, quit that. Because one day, there's a reason why when Ray Mercer knocks you out, the people are screaming more. Not for Ray. They're screaming more that you got your ass knocked out. That's not a good thing. I mean, you know, again, I'm sitting here. The people are on their feet. It's an ovation, and I'm crying. Mm-hmm. But the fans, I love them to death, and I'm thanking them. I can't thank them enough.
Right.
Vice versa, Tim, he couldn't get those people to cheer. If the roles reversed, they'd all be throwing shit at him. Hurry up, get out of here, go. Take the belt and wear it at Walmart some more. I mean, I've heard all the stories. I know y'all heard them. Complain.
I got pictures, man.
But I am saying on the personal level, yes, no, he's a good dude. A friend of me, he's always been good. Right. But on the professional, no, even I've even commented. He's gotten a little buck wild on that bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, people can be, you can be two different people, I guess, and he obviously is. So I appreciate your honesty.
They don't know the downside, you know, they don't pay attention to, some people only see that, man, I get up here, I got all this. Yeah, but I used to have those world titles too. You know, they can be taken away pretty fast. What kind of mark you're leaving if you do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't leave a very good one.
All right. Well, Jens, look, man, once again, if you're listening to this is Rear Naked Radio. Jens Pulver is our guest. Hey, man, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Hi, man. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
As soon as
you get some stuff sorted out, we'd love to have you back on. We'd love to have you tell everybody.
All right. Let's do it. Like I said, I expect everybody that's at tap outside to get that shirt because I'm running around with a punch-out card. I got a punch-out box in the front of my chest, so if I got to wear it, everybody else has to. For real, though, yeah, definitely. You guys get older any time. I mean, like I said, we're just going to figure it out, but am I retired? No. Am I taking a break? Yes. I don't know how long that is.
That's all right. You take as long as you
can. I may never come back. I don't know.
But you're not retired.
I'm not retired, no.
You're just on a break.
Man, I am not retired twice. I used to watch that crap all the time. Swore to myself, never. I always figured my time would be 38, but definitely not 30. Not right now. 34, man, it was fun to train. It was good running sprints. I had a great time lifting, good time dieting. Physically, like I said, no injuries, minus my elbow now. That thing got ripped, but...
Yeah, how is that, by the way?
Oh, it's smashed. It's butterballed, man. It's wrecked.
No breaks, nothing like that, though?
Oh, we won't know. We'll go in tomorrow. And then I'm just going to tell them to call it a sprain. And God, if I ain't letting y'all know I get something broken, hell no. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. We'll find out. But I am going in, so it must be serious enough that I'm actually going to go in and get this thing looked at. So, I don't know. All I can say is props to that armbar, because that sunbuck was bad. I mean, all that feels like it was ripped. It's crazy.
All right, man. Well, hey.
All right.
Jens, much love to you, man, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
We'll be in touch. Thank y'all for letting me just BS and take this thing in a wild, crazy place like this. I'm on my submarine right now. No sleep, so you asked for it.
That's exactly right.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Take care, Jens.
I'll be good.
Peace out,
thank you. All right, bye.
Bye.
That was some fine interviewing there, Derek.
I thought
Derek,
so.
That was your best work yet. I will say, once again, every time we have him on, I'm like, that's my favorite interview. This one is really my favorite interview.
He keeps topping himself.
What a nice guy.
Yeah.
My God. He's a dickhead.
Yeah, you just like the interview because he ripped on Tim Sylvie. That's all you liked it for.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. People, I knew what he was going to say. I knew what he was going to say. So I just wanted to see if he would do it on the air, and he did. This is why I love Jens Pulver. Tim Sylvie, yeah, great guy. My kid's godfather, but he's a dickhead.
It's what my kids are going to be saying about you, Shooter.
Yeah,
he's my godfather, but he's a dickhead.
He's a shit. And the funny thing is, too, if you go back into our archives and you find the Matt Hughes interview, I question Matt about his feelings about Tim. Because anyone who knows the show knows I don't love Tim Sylvia. And Matt wouldn't really play along. He's like, he grew up a lot. And I just gave him a hard time. Ha, ha, ha. And he just kind of laughs it off. Whereas that's the difference between a Matt Hughes, who is one of my favorite all-time fighters, and Jens Pulver, who is probably my all-time favorite fighter. And Jens will just tell you, he's crap. Definitely.
Is that something where it's not just going to be the MFS fighters? It's just every fighter we have on the show now. What do you think of Tim Sylvia?
Hey.
I think we're going to try and work that in.
Hey, George Masvidal, what do you think about Tim Sylvia? What do you think about that fight he lost against Ray Mercer? He did not lose that fight. Oh,
no,
okay.
No, well, he did. He got like knocked out 43 seconds.
That's not the way I see it.
Like, okay. you should get your picture checked.
Yeah. I will fly to Ohio and whoop your ass, Shooter.
You know what, Masvidal? You go ahead. You fly to Ohio and you whoop Shooter's ass. I want to see you try.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck. You can find me in Utica. I'll email you the address.
Utica, Ohio.
I'm somewhere in the godforsaken wastelands of Michigan. I go by the pseudonym Derek Kenny. I'm going to get on, fatso.
Derek, don't worry, Eric, it's the only way.
Derek Shooter Kenny.
Derek Shooter Kenny. Good show, guys.
That's right. All right. Will that wrap it up for us?
I think that will wrap it up. I've got something I have to write now. I have to write up a front page story for us. Yeah, I want to give a big thanks to OhioMartialArts.com. Also, Ground and Pound Promotions. Once again, thank you so much for, everything you've done for us and stuff like that. Monstrous, monstrous love shown for Jens Pulver, who time and time again comes on whenever I decide, hey, it's time we have a guest, but I haven't lined anyone up. I'll call Jens.
We kind of had a reason here.
No, right, we did. And, honestly, it's a true testament to, he's the only other show he's a total regular on is MMA Weekly Show.
Yeah.
With Martin and Kane, and they didn't even touch him with a 10-foot pole for this.
Yep.
You know, and I suppose you could say they were respecting him, but, you know, I'm not going to do that.
We're not going to respect Jens Pulver.
I'm going to call Jens Pulver and say, hey, man, we want you to come on the show.
Shooter was riding behind the ambulance. Was checking out his arm.
Jens, we're bringing you on tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus.
But no, seriously, much love and respect to Jens Pulver, my all-time favorite guest.
Yep.
And once again, man, I guarantee sometime this week I'll get a call or a text from Bowman. Hey, man, why don't you have me on?
We tried, Bowman.
I had questions for Jens.
Jens, why am I so scared of you?
Playing the part of Blake Bowman this week was Derek Kenny, who would just sit quietly by and not really say much. But that's okay.
Derek, who's boss rooting Kenny?
Oh, next week, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I didn't mention this in the sack. I totally skipped it because I was in a hurry. I meant to say something about it. Let me just cover it real quick right now. Jake Shields does not like Jose Canseco.
I don't like Jake Shields, so it all washes out at the end.
Well, Jake Shields.
The reason why this is even being said is because Jose is training with Cesar Gracie.
Oh, okay.
He's been rolling with the Diaz brothers, which I think is kind of funny because both of them together don't weigh as much.
Is he doing it both of them at the same time?
But Shields says, "Hey, you know,
take the top half, I'll take the bottom half." Fucking A.
He said, "Could have get submitted on both ends real quick."
He has, massive affection and love for Cesar Gracie and the Diaz brothers in his camp, but he will have nothing to do with Jose Canseco. He doesn't like anything about him. He thinks he's a rat, a piece of crap, just garbage. Wow. So I'm seriously considering having Jake join us next week just so he can dish on Jose Canseco. And
I mean, I like Jake Shields.
That Henderson fight or something. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he's my favorite fighter.
Oh, my God. Well, at least we won't have you questioning him on the Mayhem fight. I can live with that. Shoot.
So anyway, check in and definitely check us out on Facebook. And even I'll announce it on Facebook and on MySpace.
Yeah, we're trying to line up couple other things too, so we've got a lot of irons in the fire, as they say.
Yes, people are fighting over themselves to get on our show.
Absolutely.
It's not that our friends at other websites are throwing us interviews or anything. No, the people really want to be here.
That's right.
That's my story. And
that being said, if you are a friend of ours and you want to throw us an interview, feel free.
Go ahead. We'll have you on. Also, I think next week
I'm not just talking MMA interviews. If you have like a site about bread.
And you want to talk about the effect of bread in MMA training, maybe?
Yeah, there you go. We'll work it out.
We'll figure out something.
You know, we could figure something out with kittens. I mean, you don't really need to figure something out with kittens. Kittens are just kittens, so, you know.
But,
we have this guy on. He's going to talk about kittens. Oh, all right. Yeah, I think that would work.
I'm also hoping to have a local Ohio fighter by the name of Mike Widmer on next week, so I'll have more information on
that.
Are
we going to be getting Octopus Prime?
No, I am not even attempting to.
No. No.
I'll tell you what, if Octopus Prime would have won his fight, I would have had him on just for sheer entertainment. Ask him why in the hell? I mean, it would have been a really...
Just ask him, what is wrong with you?
Start with that.
What is your problem, Octopus Prime?
Were you dropped on your head as a child? Repeatedly?
Looks like you dropped on your face. Several times. But anyway, alright. So big thanks. Also, be sure to go to tappersleep.com. Check them out at ohiomartialarts.com. Check them out at wipop.com.
No.
I think that's it.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will see y'all next
week.
Looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bus and funny costumes, Tapper Sleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, Tapper Sleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. Tapper Sleep. Seriously. Good. Fightwear.